At last she turned to him again and said, if he ever touches you in a way you don't like, you come and tell me right away. You hear? Sure, Mom. There was something in her look that made him remember once when he'd asked her how a woman knew she was going to have a baby. She bleeds every month, his mom had said. If there's no blood, she knows it's because the blood is going into a baby. Bobby had wanted to ask where this blood came out when there was no baby being made. He remembered a nosebleed his mom had had once, but no other instances of maternal bleeding. The look on her face, however, had made him drop the subject. She wore the same look now. Actually, there had been other touches. Ted might run one of his big hands across Bobby's crew cut, kind of patting the bristles. He would sometimes gently catch Bobby's nose between his knuckles and intone, sound it out, if Bobby mispronounced a word. If they spoke at the same moment, he would hook one of his little fingers around one of Bobby's little fingers and say, good luck, good will, good fortune, not ill. Soon Bobby was saying it with him, their little fingers locked, their voices as matter of fact as people saying pass the peas or how you doing. Only once did Bobby feel uncomfortable when Ted touched him. Bobby had just finished the last newspaper piece Ted wanted to hear, some columnist blabbing on about how there was nothing wrong with Cuba that good old American free enterprise couldn't fix. Dusk was beginning to streak the sky. Back on Colony Street, Mrs. O'Hara's dog, Bowser, barked on and on, roof, 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 the sound lost and somehow dreamy, seeming more like something remembered than something happening at that moment. Well, Bobby said, folding the paper and getting up, I think I'll take a walk around the block and see what I see. He didn't want to come right out and say it, but he wanted Ted to know he was still looking for the low men in the yellow coats. Ted also got up and approached him. Bobby was saddened to see the fear on Ted's face. He didn't want Ted to believe in the low men too much, didn't want Ted to be too crazy. Be back before dark, Bobby. I'd never forgive myself if something happened to you. I'll be careful, and I'll be back years before dark. Ted dropped to one knee. He was too old to just hunker, Bobby guessed. And took hold of Bobby's shoulders. He drew Bobby forward until their brows were almost bumping. Bobby could smell cigarettes on Ted's breath and ointment on his skin. He rubbed his joints with Mustarol because they ached. These days they ached even in warm weather, he said. Being this close to Ted wasn't scary, but it was sort of awful. Just the same, you could see that even if Ted wasn't totally old now, he soon would be. He'd probably be sick, too. His eyes were watery. The corners of his mouth were trembling a little. It was too bad he had to be all alone up there on the third floor, Bobby thought. If he'd had a wife or something, he might never have gotten this bee in his bonnet about the low men. Of course, if he'd had a wife, Bobby might never have read Lord of the Flies. A selfish way to think, but he couldn't help it.